In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't think we always notice how extraordinary this passage from the 14th chapter of St. John's Gospel is, where it says that the world cannot know the Spirit of truth. Now, that's not the sort of thing that modern churchmen want to hear. They want to hear that the world is somehow a good place, and that it's a fine place, and that we belong here, and this life is just wonderful, and all of those things. And we're afraid of seeing life denying, or something like that, or too heavenly minded to be any earthly use, all of that. And that seems to me to run absolutely in the face of this passage. Indeed, it seems to me to run in the face of the whole of the Christian religion. If you were a good, sensible God, you certainly wouldn't go and get crucified for a little out-of-the-way collection of people on a very distant planet. There's not much about the Christian religion that makes sense in a nice, good, straightforward sort of way. And this passage is a reminder of that. It's not like that. Indeed, when you think about it, the whole business of the resurrection, the descent of the Holy Spirit, these were enormously, I could almost say, private events. They were not things which occurred in the public arena at all. They were not things like his public ministry, for example, which was very public indeed, and which sort of reached its climax with the passage into Jerusalem and everybody crying Hosanna to the Son of David and all that. And it ends, the public career ends with his death, with his crucifixion on Golgotha. And that's the end of his public career. From the point of view of society, of the powers that be, of all of those kind of things, that's the end of it. The bit that is so vitally important is not somehow in the public arena at all. The resurrection, the descent of the Holy Spirit, the beginning of the church, the whole new idea of what it is to be a human being integrated into God's very life. None of this is part of the public public career, if you like, of our Lord. And although it will be announced by the church and brought into the public arena, in itself it remains something that is intensely inward, and not necessarily something that you can just pick up easily and simply. Now, as it happens, the Christian religion, 300 years after its beginning, was turned into a public thing for political reasons, among others. Some good, some bad. But it became a public thing. Everybody in the Western world was more or less expected to be Christian and go to church and to respect the church and its teachings and so on. And the church expected to use the secular arm to enforce its opinions and its doctrines and its teachings. And you had to do as you were told. And you had to think as you were told to think as well. So the Christian religion became very much a public thing. But in its essence, it could never do that. It could only be perverted by that. Because in its essence, it's nothing like that at all. It is, in fact, there's nothing public in a sense, nothing compulsive, nothing that compels about a crucified God. A crucified God is one who gives up all power, all public influence, indeed all public respect, and to then try and turn this on its head and make it a matter of public record that this is rather a good thing, and you know, and Jesus is a good chap like us, and so on. This is nonsensical, and it departs from the essence of the Christian religion, from this extraordinary inner paradoxical quality which it has, and which, God willing, we are fortunate enough to know something of. I say to know something of, because it's really only understood by the greatest and highest of the saints and the mystics. It's not something which is just easily taken on board, as though, as I say, it were some sort of just public statement that's easy to grasp. In some ways, of course, you can do it like that, and we have to do it like that to start with. We have to sort of proclaim it publicly, and so on. And I suppose that's how we, you know, we end up with things like we say Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is the Saviour, and so on. But when we look much more deeply into it, we find that Jesus is not quite the Son of God in that sense, nor the Saviour in that sense. Jesus is actually God in human form, and that's the thing they couldn't say. They just couldn't simply, Peter just couldn't simply get up and say, God was crucified for you a couple of weeks ago. Because that's something which requires an inner response. It requires an inner ability to actually hear what's being said and to, I won't say understand it, but actually in some sense relate to it. So it's good for us to remember that what seems in our culture to be nice and simple and straightforward in many ways is something of extreme extremely paradoxical character and of remarkable depth, and something which in fact is a lifelong search. The Christian religion is, for those who are serious about it, something which is a lifelong search. It's a search which goes inwards and upwards. Inwards into our depths where God lives, but also upwards into a world which we only half see now and half recognize, but which we know is somehow, as Salutaris says, our true native land. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that we're exiles, traveling through a strange land, just waiting for the call to pull down our tents and to go on to our heavenly home. And that's extraordinary. That's a weird thing in a way to say about human life. But it's just one of the many things that go to show that there's something much more profound here, and therefore something which is never going to be publicly recognized by everybody. It just cannot be that. And if that sounds elitist, that's just too bad. In some ways, the Christian religion is enormously elitist, because there is only one Savior. Only the Lord God gave himself for us, the one and only person who could do such a thing. The one and only person whose power and whose goodness could save us, as it were, from ourselves. So the idea that somebody who is joined to God and participates in God's life is in some sense different from other people, that's got to be okay. That's not elitist, that's all right. And if God chooses to call some people to know him more intimately than others, that's his business as well. We won't understand that in this world. It's actually terribly antipathetic, if that's the phrase, to everything that we feel in the Western world at the present time. But nevertheless, it would seem to be the case. And it just goes to reinforce and underline the fact that the Christian religion is a profound mystery. Not some simple, tinkling little answer, but a really profound mystery, which even in its the depths of its mysteriousness, is the only answer there really is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.